Marlow could feel it in the water. Every night of the long journey, the river had carried him a little further, around one more soft bend, through one more quiet place, past one more new friend, and tonight something was different. A slowness that was not ordinary slowness. A warmth that was not just the night's warmth. The boat's hum had dropped to its lowest note, softer than he had ever heard it, as if it too could sense that they were drawing close. The river, Marlow thought, was very nearly done. He lay among his reeds and watched the banks on either side of him. They had grown lower and further apart over the last little while. The rushes had thinned out. The dark soil of the bank had given way to something finer, paler, not quite sand, but something like it, the color of old moonlight. The stars above him had multiplied until there were almost too many to count, each one very distinct and very close, as if they too had come down to see. The boat's hum was barely there. Just the smallest thread of sound, like a bee in a distant field, like a memory of a lullaby rather than the lullaby itself. And then the banks ended. Gently, and with no fuss at all, the river opened. There was no dramatic moment of arrival. The water simply widened and widened, and the banks drifted further and further back until they were gone, and the river was no longer a river, it was a sea. But not an ordinary sea, with waves and wind and grey horizons. This sea was still. This sea was warm. Its surface was the colour of dark ink and old silver and the inside of a shell, all at once. It barely moved at all, except in long, slow swells that rose and fell so gently they were less like waves and more like breathing. The sea of dreams. Marlow sat up in his boat and looked at it. He looked for quite a long time, which for Marlow meant even longer than usual. His small, dark eyes moved over the water and over the sky above it, where the stars went on and on without any land to interrupt them. Everything was very quiet. The boat had stopped humming altogether. Even the water was almost entirely silent, making only the softest imaginable sound against the side of the boat, a sound like a whispered good night, repeated over and over, very patiently. "Oh," said Marlow, very softly. It was all he said. Sometimes a thing is large enough that only a small sound will do for it. He did not know how long he sat there. Time on the Sea of Dreams moved differently, slower than the Hushabye River, which was already very slow. But it was a comfortable sort of slowness. The kind that doesn't ask anything of you at all. After a while, he noticed that the stars above were not quite like the stars he knew from the river. These were slightly different, a little warmer in their color, a little more interested, somehow, in what was below them. Some of them seemed to move, in long gentle arcs, so slowly it was hard to be sure they were moving at all. And as he watched them, Marlow began to see shapes in the moving, a great fish curving through the sky, very slowly, something that might have been an enormous snail with a spiraling shell of stars, a small bright cluster that winked on and off, in the warmest green gold, like friends saying hello from a very long way away. "There you are," said Marlow, to the shapes in the sky. He was not sure if they heard him. But it felt like the right thing to say. After a while, it was hard to say how long, Marlow noticed that the boat had come to rest. It was not aground, and nothing held it. It simply floated in one spot, very peacefully, as if it had decided that here was as good a place as any, and perhaps better than most. The water around it was absolutely flat. Marlow could see his own reflection in it, and the reflection of the stars beyond him, and the two things, the real stars above and the mirrored stars below, made it feel as if the boat were floating in the middle of the sky, held between two infinities of soft light. He put one small green foot over the side of the boat and let his toes trail in the water. It was exactly the right temperature. He left it there for a while, feeling the sea breathe slowly past. Then he drew his foot back in and settled into his reeds once more. He thought about the willow and her lullaby drifting home to her across the water. He thought about the little firefly, who stopped trying so hard and so, without ever noticing, began to glow and the whole meadow glowing soft and gold behind her. He thought about the sleepless sheep, who learned to stop counting and let one small thing after another go soft, until the whole island breathed slow with the river. He thought about Cornelius on his tall rock, his amber light burning on into the dark for no other reason than that it was his light, and it was what he did, and now and then someone came by and found it just the right kind of useful. He thought about the long, slow river. Then he stopped thinking, which on the Sea of Dreams was easy, and simply was. The boat drifted on across the still water, guided by nothing, in no particular direction, which seemed here to make no difference at all. Everywhere on the sea was equally still, equally warm, equally full of quiet. Marlowe lay back among his reeds and looked up at the slow-moving stars and felt, for the first time in a long time, that he had arrived. Not at an ending, exactly, more the way you arrive home, which is not an ending at all, but a returning. His eyes grew heavy. Heavier. He did not fight it. On the Sea of Dreams there was nothing to fight. There was only the warmth, and the stillness, and the low breath of the water, and above him the stars doing their ancient, patient work of turning. "Slow and soft," murmured Marlowe, to the sea and the sky and no one in particular and everyone who might be listening. "That's the way." And the boat rocked, once, very gently, like a cradle. And the stars turned on. And the sea breathed. And Marlowe slept. He slept the whole slow night on the Sea of Dreams, in his little boat made of moonlight, while the stars moved across the sky above him and the water held him, warm and still and safe. And when morning was still very far away, and the night was at its softest and most complete, you might have looked out across the sea and seen him there, the small shape of a turtle, tucked in among his river reeds, the boat rocking just barely, the hum somewhere between a sound and a silence. And perhaps you felt it too. The stillness of the sea. The warmth of the night. The feeling of something long awaited, arrived at last, gently. The Sea of Dreams is wide and warm and full of stars. And Marlowe is there, somewhere on it, drifting. Maybe, tonight, you are drifting too. Slow and soft. That's the way. Sleep softly. Marlowe will wait for you. He has all the time in the world. And the sea is very wide, and very kind, and full of things still to be wondered at, but gently, gently, in the morning. Tonight there is only the water. And the stars. And the hum. The end of the pilot arc. And the beginning of wherever the river goes next.